take souls out of this world that you led to the Lord. Yesterday, I got the opportunity. Every day this week, I've had an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord that I know of. Yesterday, I talked to a girl in Panama, and she prayed to receive Christ. She committed to pray to receive Christ with me on the phone. Said it was very clear after I gave her the message. She very much understood it and was ready to receive the gospel. So praise the Lord for that. Her name was Carla in Panama. Just opportunities that God gives us more precious than gold. I want to say tonight that if you're a born-again Christian, you have enemies. If you're not born again, God is your enemy, and he's against you until or unless you repent of your unbelief and receive Jesus Christ as the only Savior of your sin, and you're born again through faith in Jesus Christ. That happened to me when I was 17. If you're not saved, that's what you need more than anything else, is to repent of your own righteousness and receive God's offer of a free gift. But if you are born again tonight and you have been saved, then you have three enemies. The enemy called Satan. The enemy called the world system of evil that Satan has started and is working through to pull you away from God every day. And then your enemy within, the flesh. It's in your mortal body. It's operating through the members of your body and trying to pull you away from God's will for your life. And the question tonight is part three of a message, a series that I've been preaching on, and that is, what will it take to stop you? What will it take to stop you when it comes to your enemies? And we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. If you'll turn there, 2 Corinthians 4, that's where our message is tonight in your King James Bible. And we've already preached the first part of this message, which is verse 9 of chapter 4, and the last part of verse 9. He says they're knocked down but not knocked out, or cast down but not destroyed. We talked about a boxer. When he gets knocked out and he's counted out by the ref, he sometimes is said to be, he destroyed him. That's what they say about a boxer in the ring, gets knocked out. They say, how did he do in the fight? Oh, he destroyed him, you know. He knocked him out. And that can happen in the Christian life. Somebody that's professed faith in Jesus Christ and has been going forward and all of that, going to church and got baptized and started out well, now he's been destroyed. He's stopped. He's back at work and not coming to church, or she's dropped out and turned away, or gone into a life of fornication, or stop reading your Bible and stop praying and stop going to church and all of these things. Stop witnessing for Christ. There are people that have been knocked out and destroyed, so to speak, and that's not the Christian life. What will it take to stop you? He says in the first message, cast down but not destroyed. That is knocked down. You will get knocked down, but you get back up. The righteous man falls seven times and gets back up. That was the first message. The second one is in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 4. The first part of the verse, I'll read it. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Here's a picture of another sport that we use. The first was boxing. This we use wrestling. It's a person that's down on the floor, troubled on every side. Whichever way he turns, he's got a guy putting him in a hold. He can't get out of that hold. He can't extricate himself. But yet, though he's distressed and pressed on every side, he's not pinned. Pin means you're out of the match. It's over. And he keeps turning his shoulder so he doesn't get pinned. The Apostle Paul said that can happen to you in the Christian life, and that you will be pressed, but you don't need to be pinned. If you take it into MMA, it would be in pain but not tapped out, you know, where you tap out because you can't take the pain anymore. You're afraid you're going to break your bone or whatever, or your bone's going to get broke, and you have to tap out. You don't have to tap out if you're following God. You don't have to tap out because of your enemies. You don't have to get knocked out. You can be knocked down, but God will make a way for you to get back up. You may be greatly pressed, but you don't need to be pinned. And that's a wrestling illustration. Now, I'd like to move on tonight. We preached those two messages to part three of this series, What Will It Take to Stop You? And I asked you that question tonight. Satan wants to stop you tonight. The world would like you to stop tonight from your standards. The world would like you to stop tonight from your soul winning. The world would like to stop you tonight from supplicating to God and standing in the church of Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. The world wants to do that. The devil wants to do that. Your own flesh would try to do that. And we have Christian casualties or professing Christian casualties. They've been knocked down and apparently knocked out. They've been pressed but allowed themselves to be pinned. And so tonight we want to look at another one of these in 2 Corinthians. Please go to verse 4. We're going to look at verse 8, the second half of the verse. All right. We already looked at pressed but not pinned, trouble on every side. Now, verse 8, the second part, and I want to read that to you. It says, we are perplexed but not in despair. We are perplexed but not in despair. What will it take to stop you? I want to go to a football illustration on this verse. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That word perplexed literally means we're trying to go forward, but there's no way forward. It's a picture in football of a running back that the quarterback says, hop one, hop two, get the ball. He goes to hand it off to the right halfback, let's say. The right halfback takes the ball and begins to run to hole number six. You know, I remember fullback at 2-on-6. Fullback at 2-on-6. That means I run to the sixth hole there, and there's nothing there. I mean, the blocker that's supposed to open the hole is stood up. He can't open a hole there. There's no hole for you. I have no way to go. You look to your left. And if you're not careful, you just you either run into the blocker and just go down, or you just simply don't do anything and you're tackled in the backfield. You don't need to be tackled for a loss tonight. You don't need to be taken down so that you cannot go forward. Here we see God's plan for your Christian life and for your faith is not for you just to stand and stay stationary, but it's to gain ground. Right? Doesn't Jesus say, occupy till I come? He wants you to gain ground. He wants you to go forward. He doesn't want you just to get thrown for a loss and not go forward. God will make a way for you to go forward in your Christian life. That is your goal in 2027. We preached on get more for heaven in 2027. You can do that. You should be able to go forward. Our church should be able to go forward. Yes, we'll have to stand against the wiles of the devil, but God makes a way. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here, we're perplexed but not in despair. We're coming to a place where we can't see any way to go forward, but we're not in despair. God's going to open a hole. God's going to open a way for us to gain yards for God if we trust Him. If we trust and obey, for there's no other way, we'll be able to go forward. You'll be able to go forward. And so don't take the lies that you can't go forward. Well, I got these problems in my life. I got financial problems. I got physical problems. No, you can go forward. God will make a way for you to go forward. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this also in Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you verses 11 through 14 where he talks about you don't have any hole, any way to go forward, and yet you can go forward. God will make a way. He says in verse 11, Philippians 3, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, what does that mean? Well, some people think that's talking about the rapture, the second coming when you get raised from the dead, but I don't believe he's saying that. I believe he's talking about if by any means I can attain to the status of those that are raised from the dead. Well, what's the status of those that are raised from the dead? They don't sin. They can't sin. So what he's saying, it appears to me, is that my goal every day is to do God's will perfectly. I like what Pastor Ware used to say, don't worry, aim at sinless perfection, you'll never reach it this side of heaven. You'll never reach it. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. We'll go back to that, but then he goes on, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, none of us are, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. Why are you apprehended? You're apprehended by God to hit sinless perfection. How many of you know that the goal of our life is eventually we'll be sinlessly perfect? Yeah. If you're saved, if you're righteous in Christ, God plans for you to live sinlessly perfect. So why get comfortable with your sin? Why live in your sin and feel like I've got to just accept it? I just got to stay here. I'm not going to ever get out of this. Yes, you will when you're raised from the dead. You'll be out of it. But right now, he says, I want to go after that. That's my goal. He says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, which is to be perfect. But this one thing I do, listen to this, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, that's the problem with some of you tonight. Some of you tonight, the reason why you're not gaining ground, the reason why you're not going forward is you're living in the past. Some of you are remembering people that offended you and you're bitter at them. You won't forgive them. You won't trust, even though the Bible says love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You won't trust. You say, well, I can't trust. Well, can you trust God? Can you trust God? I've been burned by people. But I'm still here serving people, loving people, giving my life to help people. I'm just saying, you see, you need to forget the bad things that have happened to you in the sense that you put them behind you. And some of you are not doing that. Some of you have had bad experiences and you're letting those experiences give you what's called PTSD. You know what that is, PTSD. Some people go through war and they don't. I remember a guy, he was in World War I. I remember that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't remember that. I'm not that far back. But anyway, I remember hearing about the guy. And he was in a submarine and a German U-boat, boom, hit him and put him down to the bottom of the ocean. And the guy was depressed. And he went to the pastor and the pastor said, well, tell me about your depression. He said, well, I was in this submarine, you know, the torpedo hit us and we went down to the bottom of the ocean and we were stuck there in the bottom of the ocean. And the pastor said, okay. And that's what the guy just, he was on a continual loop. That's all he would do, just keep repeating that over and over again. The pastor said, but you didn't finish the story. How about how you got up to the top? How about how you got out of that situation? You see, he wasn't looping that. Whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. All he was thinking about is how he got knocked to the bottom of the ocean and was in that hopeless, and he kept running that, and he was suffering from PTSD. But listen, God says you need to go forward. God's got something for you to go forward. You're living in the past and living with the bad things in the past, and it's keeping you from going forward. Some people don't go forward because they're looking at the good things that they've done, and they're just resting on that, and they're not gaining ground for God. They're just looking at the good things. My father-in-law built a multi-million dollar business in terms of today's dollar. He started with just building some screen rooms in Florida, aluminum screen rooms, and he began to sell, and he built a multi-million dollar building. It's called South Florida Aluminum. He wanted me to work for that business. I said, Dad, I'm a deacon at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I believe I'm called to preach. I can't give my life to that. But but he built that business. And he told me this. He said, when I would make a big sale and open up a huge contract, he said, I would go get something to eat, get a cup of coffee, and forget the great victory that I'd won and get hungry all over again. Get hungry all over again. And that's what we need to do with our victory. Some people live in the past and they just keep celebrating their victories of the past and they don't get hungry again. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. A football team, they can win a championship. As soon as that's over, they need to go again and start and get hungry again. That's what we need to do in our Christian life, and that's what the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. There's farther you can go. There's greater distance that you can go. Some people don't go to the altar anymore. Some people don't make decisions anymore, because I already did it all. I don't care if it's a small decision. Make the decision. Go forward. Make that next step forward. Go after it. You've not yet attained. You've not yet hit sinless perfection. But God says you are to gain. Not wait. Gain yards, right? For God. And that's what it... So when you go forward and you don't find any way, God will make a way. And that's what it means when he says we're perplexed. We don't see any way forward. But we're not in despair. God's going to make a way for us to gain. And that is what you can believe. And I believe that's exactly what John was talking about in 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Some people say, well, you know what, I just can't help but sinning, so I just pretty much settle I'm going to sin. No. You don't settle for sin. How many of you had a besetting sin? It kept throwing you down and throwing you down. I use the illustration when I was playing with a youth group down in Florida. I was 19 years old, and they threw me the ball, and I was catching it and running, and all of a sudden this girl just wrapped herself around my legs and pulled me down. I was like, good night, tackled by a girl. Her name was Kathy Leeser, right back then. And she wrapped herself around my ankles. You know, you can't run if somebody wraps themselves around your ankle. I don't care how fast you are, how strong you are. And that's what a besetting sin can do. It can just wrap itself around you and pull you down. But you need to get away from that thing. I don't know how people get on that Instagram and then scroll down. You know what I'm talking about? Instagram and scroll down. That thing is set up to get you to sin. You know that, right? It's set up to get you to sin. There's no way you can avoid that. You're scrolling down. And the garbage that's on there. You see, I'm just saying you need to, if you're going to win against the devil, you got to resist him, standing firm in your faith with the Word of God, because he'll kick your teeth out if you don't resist him with the Word of God. But when it comes to your flesh, you got to run from it. What does the Bible say? Flee fornication. Run out of there like Joseph did. He got out of the area of it. What you can't resist, Brother Joe, avoid. Run out of there. Flee fornication. I'm just saying that you need to plan not to sin and to seek to overcome your besetting sin. And to put it away. Now, when you fall, you don't plan it, but you do fall. We know that happens. And then the Bible says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I write, you sin not. But when you do fall, we have an advocate with the Father. And then we need to go and admit it and go right to him and say, I fell. I shouldn't have given an opportunity in there, and get right back up. But I'm saying God wants you not to just stand still, not just to be in neutral. The Christian life, you have to go forward. You're going up a hill, and if you put the car in neutral and you're going up a hill, what's going to happen to your car? it's going to what? Backslide. Go backward. You know, people backslide because they're in neutral spiritually. No, you need to be going forward every day. Life is a struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a fight of faith every day. I can't live tonight on Sunday's grace. I can't live tomorrow on today's grace. We need fresh grace every day. And thank God it's available. You can have it. The Christian life is moment by moment. It's existential. It's a flow. It's constantly moving. And you've got to be saying, I am going to gain ground. I'm not going to stay put. I'm going to keep on going forward. You say, when's it over? When they close the coffin on you? Or when the rapture comes and you're caught up to meet the Lord. Praise God. You say, what's going on right now? It's like you're playing football. I know you're not on a football team. I was years ago. You're not now. But in the stands all around you are people that are now dead. They passed away. They were believers. They went through what you're going through. And guess what? They're rooting you on. I believe according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Can they see everything you do? No, but they can see certain things. And they're cheering you on in those things. And God's encouraging you to make those decisions and to stay with those decisions. Why does he bring up these people of faith that have finished their faith race and finished their football game, and they're now in the stand? Why does he bring them up? Because people in the world around you, in your own family, are they going to cheer you on? No, they're not going to cheer you on if they're not saved or if they're not spiritual. They're not going to encourage you in these decisions. That's why you come to church. You hear the word of God. It cheers you on. I'm just saying that God wants you to go forward. He wants you to gain. And so he says here, you're perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because you are knowing God's going to open up a way for you so that you can keep on going forward. And this is something we use a football metaphor. I've used it before, but he's not a very good example of a good guy. I heard he's just got in trouble again with the law. His name is Le'Veon Bell. How many have heard of Le'Veon Bell? I'm a Steeler fan, you know that. And Le'Veon Bell was a great runner for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the thing that amazed me about his running was he would get the ball and he was very patient. He would come up to the line and not just burst into the line, because that was a problem for me when I played football as a young runner. I was very fast. I won a letter in my freshman year because we broke a school record for speed in a relay. Very fast, but I would not use patience in my running, so I'd just run that ball and run into a 300-pound guy, and you know what happens when you do that. You go down. You got to learn to juke, amen? You got to learn to wait. When I was younger, I learned to reverse fields, and I could outrun everybody, get everybody going that way, and I'd just go the other way and run around. And I used to have some great times with that. But as I got into football, I got nervous and jumped too fast. Le'Veon Bell would not do that. Le'Veon Bell would get the ball, and he would never get perplexed or in despair. He would never get in despair when there was no hole in the line. He would wait until he saw a hole open. And then he'd run, use his speed and go through that hole, and he'd be into the secondary. And that's what God is saying to you and I with this illustration. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be perplexed, like, what do I do? And if you allow that to get you discouraged, you're going to run ahead of God and run into the devil and just go down. Or you're going to lag behind and just say, it's no use, I don't know what to do, and you're going to get sacked for a loss. You got to stay with God and cooperate with him. You know, we had a thing with a bus, and we bought this bus, invested $8,000-$9,000. And every week it's another problem, you know, with the antifreeze. And I was like, oh, this thing is driving me crazy. Now I know why we didn't like to have buses that we own, you know. And We had that problem with the antifreeze, and Brother Z was trying everything, and we had guys trying to fix it in the church and everything and all of that. And then we bought this part and was trying to be fixed. We couldn't get it fixed, and it's leaking antifreeze worse than ever. And I just came to the point where I was almost in despair. There's no way. But then I remembered this verse. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. God, you've got a way. Are you testing our faith? What is it? I began to pray. Others began to pray. Said, Lord, we don't know the answer. This is above us. But you got to have a way for us. This is your bus. And we prayed. And Brother Matt, you know, he had to put that radiator fluid in every week at the right. And one day he left the cap off and the bus went and blew it, and I thought it might be blown beyond repair. But Brother Matthew was out just last week doing a Christian service for somebody, trying to help somebody. There was a guy there in his bus route, and he had another guy with him named Tim. That guy worked with a mechanic, and it's real close to the church. He has a garage, and the guy has a CDL, and he works on buses. And he said, hey, I can help with that bus. I checked him out the other day, and he said, that bus can be fixed. And he told me what the problem was. Today, he said, I'm going to go get the parts. He got the parts, and he said, you should have that bus by tomorrow. I hope I do. He said, you shouldn't have to do any radiator again. He told me exactly what it was. I thought, not only if that's true what I'm saying, I'm still not finished, but if that's true, we not only have a bus fix, we got a bus mechanic we've been praying for. I'm just saying to you that you never need to be in despair. God will make a way, one way or the other, He'll make a way so that you and I can keep going forward, because He wants us to go forward in our soul winning. He wants us to go forward in bus ministry. He wants us to go forward in our Sunday school. He wants us to go forward in our growth in the Christian life. And so tonight, you need to not run ahead of God. Don't run behind God. Just like Moses, remember at the Red Sea, what did he say? The people were freaking out. He said, stand still and see the Lord open the hole in the sea. And he did it. And they went through. And then he dropped it right on the Egyptians. Amen. Tonight, perhaps you've been discouraged. Perhaps you look like I can't go forward. This is typical of the Christian life. Yes, you're perplexed, but don't be in despair. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 1:9. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. You see, we're constantly being delivered to death. What does that mean? Jesus was going to his death, and we're constantly being put in a place where we can't rely on our flesh. Our flesh has the death sentence, and so we have to rely in God, who can raise the dead. Do you understand that? You're going to be perplexed. You're going to try to go forward, but there's no way. But wait a minute. God will open the way. That's His business. Your business is to stay with God and to trust Him that He will open the way, and then you will go through it. And this will happen over and over in your life. And I am saying to you, just like in football, God uses blockers. Yeah, I've run into 300-pound defensive tackles, and I had a guy in our team called Fred Fuchs, and he was a big guy. He was a blocker himself, 300 pounds, and they broke his leg, you know. And I thought, man, if they broke his leg, what are they going to do to me if I get? But you have blockers, and they can block for you. And you need to realize God has blockers for you. I think of Daniel when he prayed for 21 days and he fasted and he was weak and he didn't see the way through. He didn't know that a wicked angel called the Prince of Persia, a fallen angel, was opposing him. By the way, that guy is still there in Iran right now. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and the angel of the Lord came and said, it took me 21 days to get to you because I had to fight with the prince of Persia. And now I'm here to give you aid and to give you relief. And you have blockers. And you say, well, who's the best blocker that I have? I'm glad you asked, because that's in Micah chapter 2 and verse 13. We'll conclude this message with this verse. Here it is, Micah 2, verse 13. It says, the breaker has come up before them. They have passed through, and the Lord on the head of them. You know, when a guy runs down the field, he loves to get behind a blocker that can knock guys out of his way that want to tackle him. And you know who your best blocker is? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going forward and you determine, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to be thrown for a loss, he's going to open a way. Lord, when you open the way, I'm going to run forward and go with what you give me. He'll block for you. And when he blocks for you, you're going to be able to go through, even when it looks impossible. And that's the message tonight. Perplexed, but not in despair. The metaphor of a football runner that has nowhere to go, and then the blocker opens the hole, knocks a big guy out of the way, and I can juke and go right through and make some yardage. So can you. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder